Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, how we doing on this beautiful, gorgeous summer Friday in New York City? Evan and Tiki, there is a ton to talk about. We'll even mix in some Giants and Jets on this Friday.
Oh, finally.
That, you're damn right. I've got some bones to pick with many of Met fans and Met media from something they peppered us with last year that they have to feel idiotic about this year. We'll get to that later. But let's just have an honest conversation right off the top. Mm-hmm. What was uglier? Was it the debate or was it the New York Yankees? Because I went back and forth on this. Both very ugly. Both had layups missed. If you're talking about one issue, that's your strength. Don't talk about another issue. Kind of reminded me of Ben Rice, right? Not handling a ground ball and waiting for it to go foul. I actually found a lot of comparisons between the New York Yankees in the first and second inning and that monstrosity of what we call a debate. So you tell me which was uglier.
I won't say ugly. I will say discouraging.
Discouraging.
It was very discouraging. Yeah, forget the, you know, how the Blue Jays played, because you know you want to give them credit. They did what they were supposed to do. They mashed ugly pitching by the Yankees, which seemingly is a common occurrence now. It makes me think that some memo went out to all Major League Baseball teams. We are policing heavily the sticky stuff. Stop using it, otherwise you'll get busted like Edwin Diaz. Because for some reason, Rodon and Heel and Garrett Cole and all these Yankee pitchers, all of a sudden they can't place the ball anywhere? What the hell is going on?
So that's really interesting. That's another parallel. So one of the accusations before the debate was that one of the candidates was going to be so drugged up, he was actually going to be coherent. Apparently, he didn't have his drugs last night. Right, and Tiki is saying the same thing about the Yankees.
Exactly.
They were sticking themselves up until Edwin Diaz occurred, and now nobody can get anybody out.
You know the face palm emoji?
Yes.
It's in all of our phones these days. I wanted to do that over and over and over and over again, no matter what I was watching on television last night.
Well, can I present to you with some hopeful news? And unfortunately, the hopeful news I present to you with is not about our country. We're screwed, okay? I would just say that. Like, the debate is the debate. Mm-hmm. Our candidates are the candidates. Huh. No one has the balls to change the candidates, well, so we're just all screwed.
Why have a June debate we talked about yesterday? Now you know.
To take one out?
Now you know.
You know what? We'll actually do that later. We'll have a long-form debate on who the next Democratic nominee will be. But in my opinion, this is my opinion, these are the candidates. Deal with it. But when it comes to the New York Yankees, and I understand that it's very difficult for me to say this to you on June 28th, mm-hmm. I am going to go up against the wind. I'm going to go up against probably what Sean will say, what you're saying, what Sal talked about for 4 hours. But I honestly mean it. The New York Yankees are not this bad. Carlos Rodon is not this bad. This lineup is not this bad. The New York Yankees are not destined to failure. I get what we've witnessed over the last 2 weeks. I get it. I get that over the last three starts specifically, we've seen dreadful performances from Garrett Cole, Luis Gil, and last night, Carlos Rodon. I can't deny what we witnessed. But what I can deny to you is that this is our new reality. Because it's not. Because last night, if you watch the Yankee game, you would see that Carlos faced some of the worst possible luck in the bottom of the first inning of this game.
Right.
And that is not spin from Aaron Boone. That's me. That's IBO just giving you an observation on what happened in that first inning. He hit a guy ahead of the count. He gave up a harder ground ball than Anthony Volpe a month ago, probably eats up and makes the play on. Then he gives up the weakest broken bat double you'll ever see to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then Ben Rice has, I don't know what he's thinking, his head up his derriere like he's in a debate in Georgia, and he's wishing for a ball to go foul that he should just take the out on and allow a run to score. And then, yes, after getting ahead of George Springer, Carlos Rodon threw a fat fastball, and it got pummeled. Yeah. I'm not trying to tell you he was great, but what I'm trying to tell you is he faced a lot of bad luck last night.
He did.
That I don't think means he's cooked, or means he can't pitch in New York, or means this is his destiny.
I don't think it's he's cooked either, because he's been too good at the early part of this season, but it does feel like that whole confidence thing that we've talked about a lot with Yankee pitchers. It was Luis Severino a year ago. We all remember having that conversation. He seems to have it back right now with the New York Mets. But that's what it's starting to sound like when you listen to some of these pitchers post bad outings. Gerrit Cole is different, because Gerrit Cole is just he's a stone wall. You're never going to get, oh, I suck out of him. But you're starting to hear those same things, like he doesn't have the answer. Or he doesn't have the confidence to find the answer, and that's what gets worrisome. That's what makes you feel despondent about it. It's one thing to know what you're doing wrong. It's another to be able to fix it. And it seems like after these multiple bad outings in a row from Rodon, obviously Heal was as well. Cole, I forgive, is only a second start of the season. But those two in particular, who were going to be counted on to be so important in this rotation, have just been bad. I mean, we can crush the lineup as much as we want. But when these games start as crooked number after crooked number, every single first, second inning, it's just like, What are we hopeful for?
But you know what I'd be hopeful for? Right now the New York Yankees are not pitching well. You're 100% right. You just laid it out. Right now the New York Yankees aren't hitting. Like, it'll be forgotten about. They had three hits last night. Mm-hmm. Okay? Their offense has been pathetic. They are slumping in all aspects of their team. But they're not this bad.
Of course.
Usually
not.
Bad teams, and the Mets did this earlier this season, you slump in one aspect of your game, mm-hmm. and you're performing well in another, and you're finding ways to lose. Then the other aspect of your team starts to play better, and then the other one that was playing well starts to play worse, and you're still finding ways to lose. Right now, the Yankees are going through a period,
right.
And that's why it's easy. It is easy to wake up this morning or talk to your friends this afternoon and say, they stink. They're not any good. Everything we saw in the first 2 months is an aberration. It's easy because they're bad at everything right now. And I'm telling you, and I will be proven right, not because I'm wanting it, but because I understand baseball's a long-ass season.
Of course.
They're not this bad.
No, they're not.
Their offense isn't this bad. Their starting pitching isn't this bad. From top to bottom, Tiki, this is not who they are.
Yeah, it's just discouraging. And again, they're 21 games still over 500. They're now in second place in the AL East, and that stings. But whatever, that is what it is. There's still a lot of baseball still to be played. But it's discouraging to watch them not have answers, or to put back-to-back-to-back-to-back bad outings into the sphere. And because it makes you feel like, yeah, they just need a break. They need the All-Star break to come.
Right.
The All-Star break is 16 games away.
I understand.
Right? It's just a long time to be bad. Now, let's face it. If they just lose every game through, this will be 500 going to the All-Star break. And we hope that doesn't happen. But that's what it feels like. It feels like you're just waiting for the worst. And the worst really hasn't happened yet. Because, I mean, a four-game losing streak is bad. If they go a week or more and can't get things completely right, then...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You feel like the roof has caved in.
I understand.
The difference, and you said this about the Mets. The Mets were finding ways to lose. And they were playing well. Like, sometimes it'd be a bad pitching outing or a bad bullpen outing, or you know, the bats would go quiet. But the other parts of the team were actually okay.
Right, and that's more discouraging.
To me, that's you just need to figure it out. Like, you need to figure out how to manage this bullpen so that you're not putting these guys in high leverage situations that they can't handle and they fail. Right, you know, as long as you're scoring runs, you can figure one piece out. The bats were just let's change the lineup a little bit. Let's get this guy in this spot, move him up to four, whatever. We can find a way. The pitching's good. The Yankees right now don't have anything good.
No, no. But
so that's worse. That's what I'm saying. That's worse.
See, I disagree. To me, it feels worse because you're getting your ass kicked every single night. Yeah. And Aaron Boone said that the other day after the Subway Series. We're getting our teeth crushed in. Mm-hmm. And those are the facts. I mean, when you look at this stretch of games, and really, I would say the losing really started at the end of the Boston Series.
Yeah.
Because even after they lost that series to L.A., it was like, all right, mm-hmm. Soto was out. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And they responded
and
by winning.
And it's the Dodgers.
And it's the Dodgers. They're a very good team. They responded by winning three in a row in Kansas City, where you never had a doubt, especially game two and three of that series. They lost a brutal finale to the Royals. Okay, no harm, no foul. And blew the Red Sox out in game one of that series. Really, since then, and that's the stretch of games that we're on right now, where they've lost 9 out of 11. Mm-hmm. They haven't just lost 9 out of 11. A lot of those games have been blowouts.
Right.
Games where they're non-competitive, like last night. Like both games of the Subway Series, even though Game 1 ended 9-7. Like the finale of the Baltimore Series, where they lost 17-5. But when everything is going bad, and that's what's happening right now, the Yankees are playing bad in every aspect.
Yep.
That actually makes me feel better because I know they're not that bad.
No, they're not. And you can see this in just how Rodon responded. He still pitched into the game. It's not like he got pulled, got chased in the second inning, right? So he still stayed out there, even though it was ugly and he felt like the game was over after three innings. And so like, I think there's a silver lining, but it's silver lining doesn't help the ass kickings feel any better.
No, look, it is tough to find a silver lining when you are getting crushed every single day.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you that I can't look at this team and say these 11 games is the truth. These 11 games are what they are. They stink. They're bad. They're pathetic.
No, I don't
fire
believe that.
Cashman.
I don't
get
believe
rid
that.
Of everybody. It is a horrible stretch of baseball. Nobody can deny that. It is concerning that it's happening now against a mediocre to bad team like the Toronto Blue Jays. But I cannot, and I know why you feel this way, Yankee fans. I understand, because it's easy. Over the course of a baseball season, it is easy to lean in to the recency of now. Just like it's easy as a Met fan to lean into, we're going to win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop us. It's easy. But the truth is, things change quickly in baseball, just like it did negatively for the Yankees. Because imagine, and I think back to that Thursday afternoon against Kansas City. It's my first day of jury duty, right? They won the first three games against the Royals, and they blew a game. They blew a game. Final game of the series against Kansas City. And we had an abbreviated show. We talked, you know, maybe for an hour or so, a little bit about Clay Holmes, about the Yankees. And the attitude was, all right, you know what? We're 49-22. You can't win them all. We're clicking. We're on pace to win 110 games. Deep breath. And then out of nowhere, with no sign from anywhere, they started to play awful baseball, beginning with game two in Boston. With a Carlos Rodon start, of all starts. And it came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the Mets' success came out of nowhere. So I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be tonight in Toronto. I don't know if it's going to be at Yankee Stadium against Cincinnati. I don't know when the hell it's going to be. But I know. I just know, Tiki.
Of course.
They are going to play a hell of a lot better than this and will remind you of the team that was on pace to win 110 games, not the team that for the last 2 weeks was playing like a 110 loss team.
Yeah, I'm not a Chicken Little advocate. I don't believe in that sky falling. Let's get rid of everything. Let's scream as loud as we can. These guys have no pride. These guys don't want to be out there. It's a disgrace. Like, it's easy to say those things. That's not true. You're not 52 wins, 83 games into a season if you are that team. Like, the character is there. The performance is not. And so I just look in the moment. It's the same thing when I have an argument. We talked about this the other day. You have an argument with your wife or significant other. They start bringing up old stuff. Like, forget the old stuff, man. Let's talk about right now. Right? Tell me about the issue. Okay, I forgot to do the dishes. My bad. I'll do them from now on.
I didn't have sex with a porn star.
I did not say that. But it worked for Bill Clinton, so hey, maybe. So, stay here. Stay right now. Stop looking at the big picture. I knew this back in early April. This was the case, even though they were winning at that time. I'm not that guy. I'm not that kind of fan. But all I can say is that when you look at a team that can't find the answer, that's when you get a little bit worried, right? When they know what's going wrong, but they don't have an answer for it, that's when you get a little bit worried. And this is where leadership and managing and not even really Cashman, but just something needs to shift. And whether it's a mental reset, whether it's a Francisco Lindor type
player only meeting, whatever it is, it needs to happen, and it needs to happen quick, because we're starting to get frustrated as viewers of this team.
I think there's some truth to what Evan said. I would rather the starting pitching, the bullpen, the lineup all fail at once and go through the most unwatchable baseball period for 2 to 3 weeks than have these problems. You know, oh, you're hitting, but the pitching isn't
there. Whack-a-mole is what I call it.
Yeah, that to me creates a bigger long-term solution. But the problem is, as we sit here right now, and you're right, maybe it is a players-only meeting. I don't know how anybody watches this baseball team and can just shut their eyes and picture the early days and not acknowledge that it is impossible to see an end in sight right now. And that's what scares me to death.
I'll give you the end in sight right now. And Yankee fans, if you have optimism and hope, explain where it comes from. We'll take the optimistic Yankee fan and the fatalistic Yankee fan. The number is 888-808-1019. The Yankee fan who has their reasons on why things were turned, and the Yankee fan who sees the sky falling and thinks, I'm delusional, that they will more reminisce the early season team than the team of the last few weeks. But I will give you my reasoning before we hear from the people. And my reasoning is this. Tonight, Marcus Stroman is pitching. Has Marcus Stroman had a good year in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. Do you trust Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. He's facing his former team tonight in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Marcus Stroman is one of the starting pitchers who I think you could look at and say, he's had a good year. I kind of trust him.
Yeah.
So number one, I think you can get a quality start tonight. Number two, Gleyber Torres is going to be reinserted into this lineup at some point. My guess, and we'll find out before we sign off today, is it's going to be tonight. He's had his 2 days off. I know he's the whipping boy. I know you don't like him, Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. He is not this bad. And maybe 2 days of sitting will wake him up. It can happen. Alex Verdugo is not this bad. He will wake up. He will give you a hot streak at some point. Anthony Volpe, who I think is very underrated in this, has done nothing for a month. We can call him out. I think Anthony Volpe has proven he's kind of a streaky player. He will get hot at some point. Like, you have guys on this team who are better, clearly, than the way they've played over the last few weeks. So when you ask, I don't see any reason why things are going to change, they'll change because it's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They'll change because this suckingness that we've watched over the last few weeks doesn't have to be their reality. Alex Verdugo doesn't have to be this.
That's the one.
Well,
to me.
I mean, there's more than just one. Yeah.
But I have more trust in, at some point, Verdugo will snap out of his slump. I get that Gleyber sat for 2 days and we were all in favor of it. And I hope that he figures it out. But it is hard just to say, oh, it's baseball. Glaber's the guy that's going to turn around. I just don't know how you see and feel comfortable. He might have completely fallen off a cliff here offensively, and we never get him back.
I don't see. I mean, do you believe that, or do you just think
Tiki,
that that's the case?
I usually don't think that
he's
way.
He's been too good at moments, but he's too young.
We're 3 days away from July 1st.
This is more than a month. But this could just be a summer swoon, right? You get into the summer, it gets hot as hell, it gets dragged, it's exhausting, right? I played golf this morning, right? And I know by 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be asleep.
You played golf this morning?
Yes, that was terrible.
What kind of handicap do you have? I've seen you swim, yeah. Tiki. There's no way your handicap's that good.
I don't know. Would you like to debate it?
You're the sucker. You're the loser.
But like, it exhausts you. Can you imagine playing a baseball game? Every day for however many days, a couple off days here and there, some travel days, whatever. It's exhausting. Maybe they're just hitting a summer swoon, and you're gonna come out of it.
Well, I do have a solution specifically for Gleyber Torres that I will share with you when we come back. Plus, we'll get to your calls, Yankee fans. The optimistic Yankee fan who believes, don't worry, things will be fine. And the super negative Yankee fan who sees the sky falling. We'll hear from both of you guys at 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets a little bit later on because I've got a big bone to pick with a lot of you hypocrites. Plus, we'll mix in some football as the show rolls on as well. I think I have a solution. I think I have a solution for all parties involved, and I want everybody to be honest with me if you think this solution would work. And I want to thank Leon Rose, and I want to thank Sean Marks. I do. I actually want to thank them because they taught us a very important lesson over the last few days. Anything can happen. And sometimes you just need to look across the river or you need to look across town to fix your issues. So I believe it is a best case scenario for all parties involved to simply try the change of scenery theory. Sometimes you just need a change of scenery, Sometimes just being in a new place helps you. I'll give you a great example of where it's worked, and then I'll present to you my idea. I think Luis Severino needed a change of scenery. And that's why I think a guy like Sean Tiki, as a Yankee fan, is okay with Sevy's performance with the Mets, because I think he looked at it and says, you know what? I don't know if it was ever going to work in the Bronx. I think he needed that, and so it's okay. Is that a fair statement?
So who's changing their scene?
Oh, I'll tell you, two people are changing their scenes. First of all, scenery change number one is Gleyber Torres, and he needs one. And I saw something last night. We all saw something last night. We may have seen a viral video. A video of a brand new hit song that is everywhere nowadays.
Oh,
a brand new song called OMG.
Oh my God.
And as I watched that song played, I realized that someone needs OMG in their life. And that person who needs OMG in their life is Gleyber Torres.
He needs to make a song?
He needs to become a New York Met. Very, very simple. I think it would benefit him. I think his time with the Yankees is over. And I think that OMG would be exactly what Gleyber needs in his
and
life.
What are we getting back?
Oh,
the satisfaction of watching Evan see him struggle there.
No. You also get a change of scenery candidate. A guy who I think needs to be away from OMG.
If you say Jeff McNeil or turn off the mic.
Jeff McNeil! Yeah,
no, thank you.
Why? They're the same player.
Deal.
Exactly.
Really? I make that deal in a heartbeat.
You ready? You ready for the same?
I want to see a change of scenery for McNeil.
It's a change of scenery.
What's his deal? What's his contract?
Well, okay, so that's the tanglement here. Mm. Jeff McNeil's sitting.
Exactly. I forgot about that part.
Exactly. I will explain it, but just so we know, Jeff McNeil is hitting 213, Gleyber Torres is hitting 215, okay? Their OPS is basically the same. Their on-base percentage is basically the same. They are both awful. Now, contrastly, Jeff McNeil won a batting title 2 years ago. Okay, so if we're being fair about who he is, the Yankees would be acquiring McNeil this year and the final 2 years of his deal. I understand that. He is owed about $30 million over the next couple of years. So that's what you're taking on. The Mets would only be taking on the remainder of Gleyber's contract, but what the Yankees would be getting is a left-handed bat, a versatile player, and a guy who I think you've seen what he can do. And one thing I really believe about Jeff McNeil is I'm done with him, but I can see him going somewhere else and being successful. I can. I can see him going to Seattle, a team that needs a bat, and Jeff McNeil blossoming. And what I would tell my fellow Met fan is it's okay. Sometimes you just need that. And I do think that Gleyber Torres, jokes aside, and Jeff McNeil, even if it's not a marriage between the two sides, because Leon Rose and Sean Marks are guys that Brian Cashman and David Stearns can't be, I think both guys would benefit from a change of scenery. I firmly believe that deep in my soul. And so if I am the Mets, and I am the Mets, would I do that? I would.
Yeah.
Sean, at least, is one guy representing the New York Yankees. He would do it. You're saying it's a horrible idea?
Well, I just look at the contract, and again, I don't know how punitive it really is to what the Yankees are trying to do as far as conserving resources, as we heard Hal say a few weeks ago, but something feels off with Jeff McNeil, and I don't think it's a change of scenery thing. I think it's an approach thing. For whatever reason, when the shift went away, which shouldn't have affected him, it seems to have affected him. He can't hit, can't find the open spaces, and he's frustrated. You see it. Every time he lifts one and it's short center, easy out, he's lost. And so change of scenery would be good for him. I just don't know if I want him on our team.
So you're saying no?
I would say no to Jeff McNeil, for sure.
I say yes as a Met fan, and for any Met fan who argues with me, we'll debate.
I wouldn't be excited. Maybe he'd turn out okay. I wouldn't be excited.
Well, I don't think anybody would be excited about a trade like that. I think it would more be, hey, why the hell not? It's one of those why the hell not
theories. But to me, a why the hell not is a desperation move.
I don't think that's desperation.
You're going to trade for a guy who's, 33, 32? How old is Jeff McNeil? 33, maybe?
But why does that matter
because
that
he's
much?
Not,
he's 32, by the way.
He's not your future whatever. And so you're just like, hey, let's just get him because what the hell? What do we have to lose?
No, I think you do
I think you have a lot to lose.
Look, here's the negative for the Yankees. The negative is he does have 2 years left on his deal. I acknowledge that. The positive is you're trying something. You know, we talked yesterday and we'll talk about it today. All right, the Yankees are playing terrible. What are you going to do about it? And what are you going to do about it? You can run the same guys out there every day and hope things change, which is what they're doing, or you can try something. And it is possible that you make a deal like this for a guy having a down year, and all of a sudden he figures it out. Now, from the Mets end of things, the Mets would do it simply because, hey, it's 1 year left. Why the hell not? Maybe it works. It's a change of scenery thing, and we'll see what happens. It's kind of the same philosophy. But, Sean, you would make that trade now with 5 minutes to think about it.
I still would. Because I think in the end you're not going to sign Glaber anyway, and at this point he's not helping us. I would take the shot in the dark that it helps us. Yeah. Personally, though, I'd prefer Reed, Garrett, and Grimace.
Grimace has a full no trade.
Sure about that?
Yeah, I've read his contract.
Sure about that?
And Lugie is a Met fan, yes or no?
I think it's an absolute no-brainer for the Met side of it because the ceiling is a lot higher for Glaber.
Right.
He's just mentally checked out.
His change of scenery, Glaber's, could be really good.
Absolutely. McNeil's just shot. So I don't know. I guess he gives the Yankees something they don't have, a guy that can make contact throughout his career, but the problem is he doesn't make it anymore. But as a Met fan, absolutely, I make that deal.
All right.
I mean, they have Volpe who does that, but still.
I have to admit, all I'm doing is humming
that song.
Humming Oh My God everywhere I go.
And how disappointing with how bad it is.
Excuse me?
That's the actual song. Yeah, like the actual song.
Forget the chorus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Now that we've listened to it, oh my God, how embarrassing.
I think it's one of the great songs I've ever heard.
Ev, it literally sounds like one of your AI songs.
No, it doesn't.
That might be the worst thing you've ever said.
Are you really saying that? Are you just being a hater? Because the song is tremendous.
What? Have I not been completely fair about the Mets the whole season? I'm not being a hater.
Coming up at 2:50, we will take a listen to the song in long form. Okay? Mm-hmm. For right now, we're not. I'll let you marinate on it. But coming up at exactly 2:50, we'll all listen and we can analyze it ourselves. But let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Bobby's in Belmore. How you doing, Bobby?
Bobby.
Hi. Some like 350 million people. This is usually the two that we have running for president. Evan, please don't cut me off because I just want to make points about three Yankee pitchers to counterpoint your point. Number one, Rodan. 7 earned runs and 10 hits in 5 innings is not bad luck. Number two, continue with Rodan. The guy was awful for the previous 2 starts, even when he was going good. You can't trust this guy in a big game. If things going wrong, he's going to lose it on the mound. Number two, Gil, he's thrown 4 innings and 21 a year before that. Guy hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he could be, not the same pitcher. And Cole with the bad elbow, you don't know what he's going to pitch. I know Kiki said that he'll give him time, but he's thrown a number of starts in the minors. He's coming off an elbow injury. You have no idea.
All right, let's address those things. Let me start with Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon wasn't good last night.
Rodon. Yeah.
What? Yes. What?
It's an on.
Rodon and Heel. You shouldn't even be allowed a Yankee point if you're going to call in and you don't even know 2 of the 5 guys on the rotation's names. I'm sorry, Evan. You should move on to the next caller. That is a disgrace to every Yankee fan listening.
Oh, come on. We all mispronounce names sometimes.
2 of the 5 guys in the rotation and you can't get their names right?
I have a mental block against Rodon. I go back and forth sometimes. Right. I'd be the first
to admit. Even if you give him the pass, you can't go with Gil.
Morris, would you stop?
Sorry, Berber.
Look, my point about Carlos Rodon, Rodon, is not that he was great last night. It was that I didn't walk away saying that guy's cooked, okay? Yeah. He made 2 bad pitches last night. If we're really being honest about it, he made 2 bad pitches to George Springer. He had some of the worst luck ever in the first inning, and while I don't want to celebrate him getting through the 3rd, 4th, and having the little argument with Boone in the 5th to stay in the game, that's not a guy who's just done. So if your argument is I can't trust him in a big spot, I'm not worried about a big spot right now. I don't think he's just falling apart and being unpitchable. Like last year, he was unpitchable. I don't think we should be down that road quite yet.
I agree with that. So his velocity is fine. It's his command. It's his, can you put this ball where you're, I don't want to say aiming it because that's actually bad for pitching, but where you want it to go. Can you put it there? And he can't. And that's what he's saying. It's what made me think about the whole sticky stuff thing. Was there a directive from Major League Baseball? Hey, we're cutting down. Be sure your guys aren't doing too much extra. It just feels like these Yankee pitchers have lost their ability to put the ball where they normally do. And it's why they were so good to start the season. Now they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, with he made a point about Gerrit Cole. And what I would say about Gerrit Cole is that if you look at his career, he has actually been a slow starter in his Major League career. This is his start to the season. So granted, he missed time due to injury, and maybe it's in the back of your mind of, is he healthy? Is this a thing? And I totally get that. But if you look at his career numbers, he gets better as the season goes on. And in the case of this year, this year his season started in the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
So I would need a couple of more really bad starts from Gerrit Cole to say, oh, my God, is he healthy?
I'm not worried about Gerrit Cole right now. He's the last of my worries.
Alex is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Alex?
How you doing, Tiki? How you doing, Evan?
All's good.
Optimistic Yankee fan, but before let me answer, Evan, your question. For the Mets, of course you won one of the top second basemen the last 7 years. We don't want a guy that only had one good year and got paid. I mean, we don't want him. You want Gleyber Torres? Take him. But don't give us anything back.
You know, you guys are something else because
good riddance, right, Alex?
Most of you guys want a DFA Gleyber Torres. Now I'm giving you something back. You don't even want what I'm offering back.
No, you're not giving us something back. You're not giving us something back. We can even sign. We might not even sign a Soto if we add $30 million to payroll the way our owner is acting. So no way.
All right.
And regarding the Yankees, I think that we hit a rough patch. I mean, albeit altogether. I don't think that you get the best record in Major League Baseball by fluke. I think everybody's pressing. I think they're going to get out of it. They're very professional. We have great leaders in our clubhouse. And this is baseball. It's 100. Evan, you always say this. It's 162 games. You're going to have up and downs. And I believe truly I'm not worried one bit about the Yankees. And I'm more confident this year than any other year because we have good pitching. We went almost a month with the best staff in baseball. That's not a fluke.
Yeah.
It's going to come back.
No, and look, and you are right about this. The Baltimore Orioles have now responded with back-to-back wins. They lost 8-12.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the conversation in Baltimore was, oh, my God, this whole thing is a fluke.
No, you know why the Baltimore Orioles aren't that way and the conversation in Baltimore is not that? Because they're young and they feel like, yeah, they're young. They're going to go through rough patches because they're young.
But all teams go through rough patches.
I understand that. But the Yankees have so many veterans, or in theory, these guys who should be able to perform at a consistently high level, that when they don't, you get worried.
Right.
I think it's the mentality. It's the perception. Like the perception of an organization or a team, I should say, not the organization necessarily, but the perception of the team dictates the reaction to the negativity.
Right.
And the perception of the Yankees is you're a veteran team. You've got two super, superstars. You got a Cy Young winner. You got one of the best bullpens in baseball. You should be good consistently. And when you don't, you fall apart and you start, you know, sky is falling. But when you're young and you're kind of upstart, like the Orioles, you go through a bad patch. That's fine, man. Well, you'll get through it. You know, this adversity is good for you.
Yeah. No, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I also think that it's very challenging as fans, and certainly as talk show hosts,
mm-hmm.
to not overreact to the good and the bad. And I'm going to give you an example where most of you people reacted to the good of something, technically. And I think even though you're not paying attention to it now, you probably glance over and say, oh, yeah, I overreacted to that.
Yeah.
And that is the burial of the Houston Astros, which occurred via a lot of people.
Right.
And, Sean, I think you're one of them. You buried the Houston Astros. You danced on their grave. And I don't know if it's after you guys took care of them, because I think their low water mark of the season was actually against the Yankees when they lost the first two games of that series at Yankee Stadium, and they were 12-24.
Yeah, the second series of the year.
The second series. And they were done. And I remember I was at least consistent on this of, you can't bury this team. You can't do that because not only because it's baseball, but because they're the Astros. And I think they've earned that. And I think we're being reminded all throughout baseball, whether it's the Mets renaissance, whether it's the Astros renaissance, whether it's the Yankees struggles, that, dude, this is what happens over 162. And we could take the bait and just believe what we're seeing in the moment, or we could take a deep breath and say, okay, it's a long-ass season.
Look, we all know it's a long-ass season. However, and we had a caller yesterday that called and went through like the ups and downs and how many teams lost this amount and still made the playoffs and yada, yada, yada. What we're seeing now for the Yankees isn't, though, just a matter of losing and going through a rough spot. You can't continue to give up more than a touchdown and lose like that a night and what feels like every night for the last week. That goes way beyond just, hey, they're playing bad for a week. They are not in baseball games in the second inning of games. It's insane right now.
Okay, so then my follow-up to you would be this. What do you think's going to happen now? Like, do you think the Yankees, who are now in a virtual tie with the Orioles in the American League East, they are percentage points behind them, do you think they are about to fall out of the AL East race? Let's start with that.
No.
Are they going to fall out of the race?
They will not fall out. They're very lucky that Baltimore played as poorly as they did, but I don't think the Yankees will truly straighten themselves out until after the All-Star break. They need a couple days here to figure this out and just take a deep breath.
What the Yankees need to do, Tiki, in my humble opinion, is survive the next couple of weeks.
I agree with that. I agree with it. Don't, I mean, you don't have to turn back into the best team in baseball like they were for a month, 2 months in a year, but they do have to be consistent. Be 500, right? Honestly.
Yes,
to
I agree with that. Yes.
Is be 500. Yes. Win one, lose one. Win a series, lose a series. You can't become what the Mets were for the first part of this season.
No, you can't tank. Yes. You can't have and if you can survive the next few weeks, because I know what some people are thinking, okay, survive and then what? All right, great. You've survived. What's going to happen? I think the what's going to happen is Giancarlo Stanton potentially comes back. Jason Dominguez potentially comes back. But maybe even more important than that, Brian Cashman aggressively makes moves.
Right.
And the answer to the moves question is not going to be the sexy name. All right? I give Big Mac credit. I think he was the first one to bring up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and then Sean copied him. Or whatever.
Suck it. I'm not going to bow. I saw that on Twitter today. Don't take the bait.
No, look. I'm going to rip Big Mac because I think Big Mac's better than that. Honestly. Just because he's the biggest name doesn't mean that makes sense. Okay? He doesn't make sense for the Yankees. What makes sense for the Yankees, and I'm telling you, follow the model, the 2021 Atlanta Braves. They added 3 and 4 bit but important pieces. And yeah, were they sort of lucky that they all hit and some became postseason heroes? Sure. But that's the formula. So it's not household names. Unfortunately, it is Ryan McMahon. It is Renjifo.
Right.
It is Pilar. And I know that's not sexy to a lot of people, but that's truthfully what they're going to have to do. And I think what Brian Cashman's going to do. So stop stargazing like you're a Knick fan from 5 years ago or a Net fan from 2 months ago. You know what I'm saying? I took a shot at both, so we're all good.
You know what, Evan? Speaking of the Knicks, you brought up a word survive over the next couple weeks for the Yankees. I thought they were dogs. Woof.
I can't count that
kind.
Yeah, dogs get glaucoma. All right. Also,
I can't count that.
That home run and double from Vlad Guerrero looked pretty sweet last night. All I'm saying.
No, I'm not knocking him as a player. By the way, Vlad.
And Big Mac's better than that. After yesterday, I said the Mets are our daddy. Go get Vladdy. What does that mean? I'm not better than anything.
That's exactly what it means.
You want Big Mac here? We'll get Big Mac here.
No. Well. My son Jed is here, and he misses Big Mac. He's like, where's Big Mac? Who's this guy?
He called me Big Mac.
He called you. Yeah, Big Mac, if you're listening, my son is just calling Sean Big Mac. Like, right. That's just the reality. I'm just going to call you that.
That's because he thinks that's what you had for lunch.
Oh, wait, I'm sliding him. That wasn't far off either.
Let's go to Corey in Manalapan, New Jersey. How you doing, Corey?
Felt like a Big Mac kind of day for you, Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got one Yankee point, and I just wanted to say something to Tiki. I watched the Legend the other night on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
That had to be a blast.
Oh, it was great.
That had to be a blast. Video.
By the way, for those that missed it, to Corey, hold on 1 second. For those that missed the Giant 100 kickoff event, they just released the video, which is
about
an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour. It's on YouTube, and it's on like 4 different times on MSG today.
Yeah, exactly. It was fun. It was a great time. Especially Corey hanging backstage with those guys, and I mean, I haven't seen some of those guys in a long time, so it was fun.
As a big Giant fan, and I'm going to be 70, and just going through the history and the players, you know, you see your favorite player, and then everybody talking to each other, and then going back and forth. That's got to be unbelievable. You know, I as a Giant fan, that was great to watch. I'm sorry that I didn't even know that there was a way to get to go.
Yeah,
and I would have loved. That would have been something else.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of things going on throughout the season, so you might get another opportunity.
I'm sure. Now, my Yankee point is I am not optimistic about them turning it around, and I'll just tell you why. I'm watching them, and I think they're just – some of them seem to be going through the motions. Listen, we did the LeMayu, we tried to get you back. You know, we signed you to a big contract. Thinking that, you know, you were going to do something. You know what? I think he's kind of either finished or you can't use him every single day. I know that now there's a problem. You don't have enough people. You have to use them in different situations. That's one. Gleyber Torres, I think you got to move him. You got to see if you can get something for him.
Well, I just offered you something. You don't want Jeff McNeely. What about that
understand.
Title?
You want to know something? I'm not so sure I want a Met because I hate the Met. So it doesn't matter.
That's your reasoning for not wanting him?
Nice.
I think Tiki
at least he's real. Good job, Corey. Keeping it real.
Listen, man. There are plenty of Met fans that hate the Yankees. including one named Tommy Lugauer, hates the New York Yankees, right?
Is hate? Really?
No. He hates the Yankees.
Like loathe?
Yeah. No, he
like
does.
Like despise?
You hit on every single word, Tiki, that
like
we could use on the
fire,
air.
Fire? You wouldn't, you know what, on them?
With a passion. Wow. It's over when I say it's over.
Wow. Yeah, no, Lugie is like the one guy around here who truly hates the New York Yankees. Mm. Like, Sal's a Met fan who, like, makes fun of the Yankees, but if you talk to Sal, and he says it on the air, he's like, no, I want the Yankees to do well. And he's being genuine about it, because I think Sal's thought is, and it's Gio's thought as well, hey, it's good for the show, it's good for the station, totally respect that. By the way, I don't hate the Yankees either. I've made that clear. I used to when I was a lot younger.
Right.
It's actually a disconnect between me and Lugie. Lugie does not like that I don't dislike the Yankees to that level. So it's actually a genuine disagreement that we have.
I kind of like the Mets. They took care of me. Can I go back to the Cadillac Club?
Anytime. But Lugie genuinely dislikes, hates, if you want to use that word from a sports perspective, the New York Yankees. But watch this. Watch this little game.
I'm waiting.
What do you think of Luis Severino?
Love him.
Louis.
What do you think of Harrison, the master?
I love Harrison Bader.
Really?
Love him. Jake Paul.
Both former Yankees.
Mm.
See?
Yeah, but they're with the good guys now.
Well, but
I didn't like him when they were in the Yankees.
No.
But I did respect Bader's game as far as his intensity, so I did like him from afar. But
that's my point to our last caller. If a guy can help you, and that's the key, obviously. Jeff McNeil hits 190, you're going to hate him, of course. If a guy can help you, you're going to like them.
Of course. Mm-hmm. If Roger Clemens became a Met, I would have loved him. Even with all this, you root for the laundry, ultimately. I root for the success
you
of the Mets.
Absolutely would have.
No. Let me clarify that.
Stop it. You would have loved him.
Hold on, let me.
You would have loved him. You would have defended him. You would have said he wasn't doing steroids. Maybe it was HGH.
And would have admitted by now, better all time than Jacob DeGrom.
Yep.
Well, first of all, when did I say Jake was better than Roger Clemens? Have I ever made that
as
comment?
A Met.
But you haven't said it.
Well, do you want? Are you going to ask me who's a better pitcher?
Who's better, Jacob DeGrom or... Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens.
Oh, Who would you have rather had in their prime, Roger Clemens or Jacob DeGrom?
No, in their prime, Jake's the best pitcher I've ever seen.
Mm.
Nah, hold on a second. In their, at their very best. I was so pissed off by a discussion I had in the Mets text chat. I don't know if you saw the back and forth that occurred between me and Fantasy Phil and the Mets text chat.
Was this the one that put like 20 messages in the
chat? Yeah, I got very
chat.
Upset.
And I looked at my text thing, and it said 40-something messages.
Do you know what it was about?
No, I didn't go back and read it.
I'll bring it on the air, because I got very upset with my dear friend, Fantasy Phil. Fantasy Phil, on the kind of the heels of Matt Harvey being at Citi Field for the Subway Series, said, hey, guys, who would you take in their prime, one game to pitch, Game 7 of the World Series, Matt Harvey or Jacob DeGrom? And my response was... Phil, I love Matt Harvey. I have a warm place in my heart for him. I find the question insulting.
Mm.
And Adam Eaton joined in and said, Evan's right. Like, that's the dumbest question I've ever seen. And then Phil went back, well, you know, Harvey had it and he had balls and all this crap. And we went back and forth. And I was like, dude, I love Matt Harvey. This is not about an insult, but it's insulting. Jacob DeGrom at his very best was Sandy Koufax. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. Now, I get it. He didn't do it enough. No one's arguing that. That's why Roger Clemens, of course, all time is better than Jacob DeGrom. He pitched at a high level for a very long time.
Okay, so
one
game must win in the World Series?
There's no one I saw in my lifetime. Pedro's very close, by the way.
I was going to bring him up.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's a blowout. Yeah.
But you take Roger. Okay, I guess it's cool.
No, excuse me? In a big spot, I certainly wouldn't take Roger.
Anybody that's ever scored a baseball game would take Roger Clemens.
All right.
Well, what's the question? In one spot or in their careers? Like, what's the question?
Prime, career.
In Clemens, one Clemens, spot Clemens. At their very top of their game? Jacob DeGrom.
Well, then you take Andy Pettit over DeGrom in that spot.
No, I wouldn't. Andy Pettit's career postseason ERA is like the same as his regular season ERA.
You take
most
El
Duque overrated
over
postseason pitcher of all time. Excuse me?
You'd take El Duque over.
Why, so he could pop a hammy running before the playoffs start?
No, he only does that with the Mets.
No, I know. Anyhow, before we get back to your phone calls, Yankee fans trying to tell us why they're optimistic, Yankee fans telling us why they're so bad they're going to miss the playoffs, I promise you a chance for everybody at the same time to hear the rally song of the New York Mets that has finally been released by Jose Iglesias. There's a viral video out there of all the New York Mets celebrating and dancing to that song last night during their off night at Citi Field. Looked like the locker room has a lot of camaraderie. It's very interesting. Here's Jose Iglesias' song. The Mets play it after every home run. They play it in the clubhouse after they win. And I think it's one of the greatest songs of all time. Maybe the best I've heard since the Beatles. Ladies and gentlemen, OMG. Yeah, let's get down, everybody.
Todo lo malo echado para allá. Oh
Love this song. If you don't like this song, you're an idiot. That's my attitude. Like, you have no taste in anything.
Who's your favorite musical artist of all time?
Jose Iglesias.
Oh, my God.
Forget about the Mets for a second and how this song is their rally song. Tiki Barber, how great is that song? Excuse me?
My God.
Well, unfortunately, it's in Spanish, so I can't understand it.
Oh, it's about putting the negative away. Like not thinking about the negative. But by the way, how fitting for the Mets season. Yeah, me and my wife were listening to it this morning. She was explaining it to me.
So is this where the swatting away of negativity came from?
I think so.
Huh.
Oh, I definitely think so.
Is there a music video to Iglesias's Oh My God?
The music video should be the Mets players dancing into it last night at the Piazza Club. My man Pete Alonso is such a dork. I love it. Pete Alonso's an overgrown me. I mean, he's dancing. He's having a good time. Yeah, what do you think? You like that song, right?
I love this song. Yeah. I think it's awesome. Very catchy. I love it.
I kind of like the hook, but the rest I don't know. It's just I gotta listen to it more.
He's gotta analyze it more.
I gotta break down the lyrics.
I understand.
First, I gotta translate them.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it in front of your kids. Sean's got them.
A lot of people saying the lyrics are about spanking booties.
Oh, is that what it is?
Which makes sense because I think that celebration.
Oh, so that's exactly what it is.
That they do after hits is slapping a booty.
It. Well, I
nailed it.
And the Oh My God's about a big old dumper in front of a chica.
I don't think there's any question that.
Oh, so it's the new Baby Got Back.
Yes.
Oh, I like big butts.
Why did my wife tell me it was about swatting away negativity? Maybe she just didn't want to say what it was about to me. Either way, the Mets swatting away celebration, along with what they do in the dugout when a guy hits a home run by raising their hands, everything about this new Met feel is related to this song. Like, honestly, this song is probably more influential in the Mets' success than even Grimace. Oh my God. Is that fair to say? Like, and I'm not demeaning Grimace because I think Grimace is awesome.
I told you it wasn't Grimace. I've been telling you for a week and a half now. It's not Grimace.
But it's this song.
It's smacking that ass. I'm just telling you. It's not Grimace. It's OMG. Yeah, I kind of like OMG now.
See? That's all Tiki
needed to explain to me.
Just needed to know. All right, we'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019. We'll mix in some Mets as well, including something this whole dance video craze has proven, and it took a long time to prove a lot of people wrong. Evan and Tiki coming right back on this beautiful Friday.